Blog Talk Radio.
Give her a call at 813
689-2466, or you can reach her at Brandon Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Well, guys, it was another good week.
Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Carroll, I was just going over some emails a few minutes ago, and I see that some of Dr. Carroll's children had a pretty good week there.
Yes. Mr. Ty Anthony Basso was picked as the John Walter Spirit Award for the state of Florida for the Florida Spring Youth Athletic League. So it's out of 1,150 kids, he was the one that was chosen for the award for his to play on and off field, his academics, and his help to the community. So it's a real proud of Ty.
That's a tremendous honor.
Yep. Yeah, it is. And
absolutely. You have two winners running around there, Butch.
Bye. Yes, sir. It's a you know, but when we got the letter, we got the fellow who sent the nomination in was the mayor of Sarasota, Shannon Snyder.
Wow.
And then the sheriff sent one in, and the chief of police sent one in, and I got a thing back from the director of the program, Sandy Beckett, saying that where's this one? I see the although he's only 11 years old, he's the wisdom of a mature male, the fight of a tiger, and a warm heart for anyone and everyone who comes in around him. So once I read that, it was very, very. I struggled to get my head out the door.
Did you float when you once you got out the door?
Yeah, I fell right on it. Yeah, we're gonna have a be joined tonight by Mr. Aaron Jaco. He's got a he has a program for they're gonna do for autism next Saturday, so he's gonna join us. And the latter part of the hour, we're gonna have Mr. Russell Peltz is coming on to talk about the fights that are going to be up in South Philly next month. And you gentlemen have been invited to join him at ringside as the same as last time.
Oh, yeah. It was again, a joy to sit within earshot of him and just hearing him root for fighters. And, again, not knowing who his rooting interest is. You just couldn't tell. He's just a genuine fight fan.
Right.
And those are the best fight fans to talk to, the genuine ones. So.
Well, you know, the one thing I like about Russell is that Russell likes to pit the young upstarts against each other in Philadelphia and keep the fights pretty local because he feels that it keeps the game going. I'll let him expound on that. But he really is he's not in it just for the money. He's in it for the guys.
Yeah.
And that's something I like because you give – I mean, there's nothing wrong with a loss in boxing.
Right.
And it's too much onus on undefeated records and, you know, perfection to where
right.
guys are matched up to protect their records.
Right.
And that's the good part about this, when you match up guys who, you know, could take a loss but keep on getting good fights.
Right. Well, it's like the one he did with Stevie and Amir. A couple weeks ago. I mean, here's two guys, excuse me, that have known each other, have helped each other out, have sparred with each other and have sparred with other fighters in the area, and he put them out there to learn their trade and to enjoy it. And then the crowd, from what I understand, really enjoyed the fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a tremendous fight, and you know what, and they had a good crowd. And I tell you, Stevie has 4, 5, 6 losses. This is Amir's first loss. But based on that fight, who wouldn't want to see those two guys fight again? Who wouldn't want to see a Stevie Cunningham fight? Who wouldn't want to see an Amir Mansour fight? The guys, they entertain those that were at the fight. They entertain those that watched on TV. And Arturo Gatti can, with the late Arturo Gatti, would have been able to attest that, you know, the entertainment value sometimes pays the bills. So you know, which is why, you know what, somebody will pay to see Amir Mansour, but they won't pay necessarily to see Guillermo Rigondeaux. So,
right.
You know, those two guys enhanced their marketability. They really did that night.
And one thing I could say is, I mean, all the fights are wonderful, but the co-feature and the main fight, you wanted to, you would want to see all four guys fight again.
Yeah.
I mean, they were wonderful action-packed fights, and, you know, these guys have some skills, and, they, you know, they would give anybody trouble. You know, you would pay to see Anderson.
Yeah. Did you guys happen to see, I don't know if you noticed it, but Shannon Briggs was fighting in Tampa last week on a card.
Oh, how did he
get? He won. He did win. And now I'm led to believe that he's going to be fighting again in less than 3 weeks. So I'll have to get more. I got more information on that. I'm trying to get a hold of.
You know, it would definitely be in Chandler's best interest to stay busy. He had some time off, obviously. First fight back. He's getting up in years. It would behoove him to stay busy. The heavyweight division is still pretty thin outside of the Klitschko's. So there's still money to be made, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has to feel good to keep busy. Like, so.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to go back to stuff here to see. I've got it in my notes here somewhere. I'll have to find it. But he was even the even Fight News was saying, you know, oh, here it is. No, I was wrong. In just 8 days after destroying Munizeno Smith in his first fight since 2010, former heavyweight champion Shannon Briggs will be back this Saturday. Oh, he's on tonight at Black Bear Casino over in Minnesota.
Yeah, but how long did this fight last, that fight a week ago or so? That fight last
week. It was he was out in the first round. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he really didn't get a warm-up even. By the time he dried his sweat off his brow, the guy was down.
So I think we are joined. Keeping him busy.
We are joined by our most western correspondent, farthest western correspondent. How you doing, Frank?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Frankie, how's it going, brother?
Good. Who's Shannon Briggs fighting tonight?
Let me see who it is. Who it is? Tonight he's got. Francisco Morales, M-I-E-R-E-L-E-S. Morales?
Is he ranked at all? Or?
I'm sorry?
Is he ranked at all? Probably not.
I don't think so. It's scheduled for a 10-rounder.
Yeah, he's fighting cannon fodder right now just to get his legs back under him, I'm sure.
Yeah. What's his, I mean, obviously he's going to want to fight somebody big. How old is she? I mean, Shannon's got to be in his early 40s.
That's what I was thinking, 43.
Yeah. Do we know how old he is?
I said about 43.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going to. You guys want to talk about the Bradley and Pacquiao fight while I go off here and get our first guest on.
That's a great place to start. How'd you guys think Manny Pacquiao looked last week?
It went pretty much how I expected. We expected, and we basically called it, but it wasn't hard to say. It was a lot like the first fight, a little more impactful for both fighters, but really it went according to script. Timothy's tough, and his foot hurt again, but the guy, you know, you can't take anything away from Timmy. In spots, he was doing pretty good boxing. But when he realized that Pacquiao was, you know, was a little too explosive to outbox him for the most part, Timothy kind of went at it. He kind of went at it. He laid on the ropes. He baited Pacquiao. He swung for the fences. He took some heavy shots. But Timothy, he withstood. He lasted. And he did pretty good in the loss.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think that Tim Bradley, just he started getting desperate, I think, there towards the end, and he was trying to line him up for that big shot, hoping that he could catch him with the lucky one, and it just never happened for him.
Yeah, Timothy has no big shot.
And I think part of the reason is because Timothy has no big shot. And I think one of the reasons why I didn't have personally a lot of interest in that fight was because I thought when we saw the first fight between those two, we would see 10 out of 10 times, just different versions, different variations of it. I thought that's when we got the second fight. We saw the first fight slightly more competitive, but just a different variation of the first fight as far as how it was dominated, how it was dictated. I think Tim Bradley, the reason why he could beat a Marquez is partly because of his athleticism and quickness. He doesn't have those advantages over Pacquiao, and he definitely is at a punch power disadvantage. So, you know, Timmy does what he can do. But against a guy like Pacquiao with his tremendous athleticism and explosiveness, it's not enough. With that said, I thought Timmy fought a better fight than he fought last time. And I thought Pacquiao actually fought a better fight. And I thought Pacquiao really looked good. I thought Pacquiao looked good on that night. I thought he boxed smart. To me, I see a slight decline in Pacquiao. He doesn't seem to be as explosive. Before, people were saying he doesn't punch as hard or he doesn't seem to have as much power. It's not, to me, a power thing. I just don't see the explosion there. He's still very fast. He's, you know, exceptionally quick, but I just don't see the explosion that he used to have. And Timothy Bradley, again, just doesn't have a style that is not suited to fight against the Pacquiao, you know, for my estimation.
Yeah, to agree
with
Pacquiao,
Pacquiao had a lot more to lose on that. Because I think Pacquiao is the one that's trying to prove that he is still, you know, a fight that that Floyd Mayweather wants to make.
Right.
To say something, I think Pacquiao he's declined, but he hits hard. His power is still there, but he's slightly slower. His quickness is slightly diminished. Just slightly. He's still explosive, but he's not as quick. And I think it has more to do that with he was fighting lighter weights. He was fighting at lighter weights, moving up and everything. But now I think that weight may have settled a little bit. He's a little more maybe comfortable not as being as quick, not working on that.
He's 35, you know. He's 35.
Yeah. So it seems like he still throws it straight. He just still throws it pretty quick. But it seems like he's almost settled to plant his feet. He'll move his feet and dance, not as much as he used to, not as much useless foot movement, but he'll plant a little bit more.
You know what, kind of like with Floyd Mayweather, he doesn't move around the ring as much as he needs to. As much as he used to, because he knows when he has to move now. Yeah, you know what, and you know, another guy who's a master of that, veteran, Bernard Hopkins. These are people who know how to minimize what happens in the ring.
Hey, guys, we're joined by one of the founding fathers of Fight Words, Mr. Aaron Jaco. Aaron, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Aaron,
how you doing, man? I'm doing really well, actually. You know, just getting ready for Easter. Butch actually caught me in the gym right now, just kind of getting my pump on.
Good to hear.
You know how it is, Butch. You got to stay looking good. You know, even if you ain't got a fight, you know, around the corner, you got to stay looking good for the ladies.
That's the thing about you. You always, you're always in the gym. You're always ready for the fight when that call comes. But you definitely have taken fights on short terms. So it's good that you do.
Well, you know, it's my profession. If I'm going to train people to stay in shape, you know, you got to be in shape. Nobody wants to go to a fat trainer the same way we don't want to go to a skinny cook.
True.
Right. Aaron, you have a great thing coming up next week. Can you tell our fans about that?
Yeah, we're just doing a little benefit to help out in the community. Me and my brother always try to give back a little bit. We're very thankful for the things that we've had and the way the community has embraced us. So we're doing a little something for children that suffer from autism, who are born with autism, and it goes to the ABA Academy. It's a school that has autistic children, and we're doing a 24 hours straight around the clock. We start at 5 p.m. on Friday, and we go all the way till Saturday evening at 5 p.m. After it's over, we're going to have a party. But for 24 hours straight, we're doing half-hour slots for $100. So people can come in and spar us. They can come in the middle of the night and just have coffee with us, whatever. I mean, it's end up being a great event. You know, whether they work out or they just listen to me and my brother's comedy show, you know, who knows. But it's just it's a really fantastic event.
Great. And where is it going to be?
We're doing it at Jayco Boxing. That's my brother's gym, even though, you know, it's my last name, too. Mine's, people get us very confused, you know, Butch, these days, because, see, Adam's got a, you would probably understand it, too. I hope you could tell us apart by now. But Adam is married to a tall blonde with long hair. I date a tall blonde with long hair. We both own a boxing gym that's only a half mile apart. So people go, yeah, I met you. You have the blonde girl with the boxing gym. And I'll be like, yeah, so this is my brother. You know, I've never met you. So it's real confusing. My brother owns Jayco's Boxing. I own Aaron Jayco's Uppercut. We're a half mile apart because I tell everybody 2 liters can't be under one roof, but we didn't want to get too far from each other.
Right. But can you give a physical address so that anybody wants to come down, or give us a phone number so that people can call in and maybe make a donation?
Yeah, the best number to call is 941-740-1545. The boxing gym is right on Lawton Drive. It's off Clark, Jayco Boxing. You can go to www.jaycoboxing.com and take a look, or even log on to the Facebook page. That's Jayco Boxing Fitness and MMA. You can check it out through there. There's several ways. There's probably a few posters around town. If you look, I mean, it's this event is really caught on. We've got SNN, we've got Channel 7, Channel 8, Tampa Bay 9 is covering it. There's even stars in Hollywood that are tweeting about this event. It's, you guys know that show, The Big Bang Theory, the blonde in it. The blonde is actually married to Kelly Jacobs' cousin. She's tweeting about it in Hollywood, so it's just kind of cool. It's a really neat event. So the truth is that I'm going to be a trainer in the event. My brother's wife, my girlfriend Heather, who's also a trainer, she's going to be running the event. So we're going to be able to raise up some really good money. There's going to be a great party at the end. I believe there's some type of silent auction. A lot of people really come out of the woodworks to donate some special things for people to raffle on or bid on. And so it's going to be just an amazing event. So we're really looking forward to it.
Great. And how's your career going? I know
it's going good. You know what I mean?
Because they couldn't get in the door the other day.
Oh, yeah, the business is just, I mean, we're so busy. But you know what? We're really lucky. We live in a city where, you know, everybody wants to stay fit. You know, year-round, people can be, you know, in a shirt and shorts. I tell everybody, you know, if I were to move up to Ohio, I'd be bankrupt in, you know, a week because people just, you know, this town is just, you know, fit crazy. I'd say the same thing about our college sports in the state of Florida. You know, you always got, you know, great teams because I think we get a chance and opportunity to really practice year-round outdoors and be out there and enjoy this weather so we can stay in shape. We don't have those moments where we're all inside trying to drink hot cocoa just to stay warm. You know, we can be outside exercising and really working on whatever particular sport we're doing. But, yeah, the business is going great. We're really lucky there. And I mean, I can't say enough about, you know, the way this community has really embraced just the whole boxing workout, you know, that, you know, two guys that, you know, me and my brother had no idea what we were going to do, you know, especially when we both decided to leave college to become fighters. But, you know, it was just a natural progression to go right into the training industry and teach people, you know, our craft. And the truth is there's nothing harder than a boxer's workout. So people have really embraced it. And they also really embraced the fact that even though me and my brother never made it to world title fights or anything like that, we did win 11 state amateur titles between the two of us. We've had decent careers, excluding injuries and, you know, time off. So people really like the fact that you're someone who, you know, can teach it, but you also walk the walk and you just didn't talk the talk. So it's been a super ride.
We have a guest coming on the latter part of the show who actually booked your dad a couple times. Russell Peltz is going to be on with us tonight.
Nice.
He's been the owner of the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia.
He's going all
up and down, and now he's has fights at the Leah Cora Center at the University of Tampa. But they're going to be opening a new gym I'm sorry, a new arena in South Philly, and the first thing in there is a fight that Russell is putting on in 2 weeks.
Awesome. You know, as I had a couple fights fall through, and, you know, I was going to fight on that Shannon Briggs card.
Right.
You know, that fell through. I feel like I'm getting too old for this stuff anymore, but, you know, I'll always stay in shape, and there will always be fights that intrigue me, so you never know. But right now, I'm just, you know, take it easy, enjoying my daughter. I'm looking at her right now. She's lifting weights, and it's amazing when you bring up my father and who's talking, because even looking at my father, I always wanted people who knew who he was, or, you know, he fought on a particular card, and it's just always interesting to see, you know, somebody knew him from when back in the day when I was just a little kid that saw my father fight. And so we always get these stories of, oh, yeah, this promoter knew your father, and it's pretty cool stuff. And it's funny because I've worked with matchmakers now that used to be like, hey, I used to matchmake your father, or I had a ref a couple times say, I used to ref your father's fights, and now I'm reffing yours. It's just kind of a neat little thing to kind of, you know, fill the gap in these generations and having the same guys, one guy who ref my father's fight and now mine. It's just kind of a cool little thing.
Great.
Hey, what did you all think of the, I heard you all talking about the Pacquiao fight. Did you all see that coming, that Pacquiao was going to win like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did too. I got to tell you guys, you know what? I think that the fact that he's slowing down a little bit may be to his benefit. To be truthful, for a while, he was kind of getting happy with his feet. He'd be dancing around a little bit too much, almost of like a Deion Sanders type thing. He'd be like kind of doing like this goofy high step. And I think in a way, he kind of jumped into that punch that Marquez threw at him. The fact that he slowed down may actually help him, because the one thing people know is that fighters, the last thing to go on them is their power. So maybe if he just takes his time a little bit, you know, and just uses great elusive head movement, it might actually benefit him, not just act like such a wild man and go jumping into stuff. Because if he were to jump into Mayweather, if that fight will ever happen, Mayweather's going to eat him up with that right hand. So maybe he needs to learn to take his time. So
yeah, and it would save energy, because that's useless foot movement a lot of times with him.
Listen, one of the most useless movement I ever saw was when Pazienza fought Roy Jones Jr. Jones Jr. would be 15 feet across from the ring, and he'd be bobbing and weaving his head all over, and I'm going, he's not even close. What is he doing? He was expending so much energy, and I'm sorry, but you're in a fight. This is an endurance event. You better conserve some of that. It is. There's just some useless stuff going on that's not needed, you know. You got to, you know, keep cool. I mean, look at Mayweather when he fights. He doesn't waste anything. You know, that's what's made him so great. Besides being, you know, a defense master, he doesn't waste anything.
That's good for his cardio. Mayweather could go for days fighting like that. He's calm.
Days.
He's
days. I mean, if they threw a 50-round fight, Mayweather could do it. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, to this day when I fight, you know, I can go 8-10 rounds easy, but I've actually sat here in my gym, I've sparred people 25 rounds before, and I could keep going. They're like, you're amazing. And it's just staying calm and cool, and obviously I'm cool and comfortable in my own ring. You know, I'm not sure how far I could go in a fight in a real arena, but Mayweather's got that thing where he can just stay cool and calm and not waste. The only time we ever seen him really hurt or, like, breathing was against Cotto, you know, so.
One thing I'm always going to say, though, Mayweather should have one loss. He should have one loss. The first Castillo fight, I went over and I looked at it time and time again.
Right.
I can't give it to him. I just can't give it to him.
Right. Well, you know what, though? Honestly, people need to start looking at what Cotto did to him, and they got to do that. Listen, everybody thought Canelo was going to whoop his butt, but that's not going to happen. Mayweather wants you to pressure him. You can't walk at him and pressure him slowly. That's what he wants. You got to go, you know, balls to the walls at him and take it to him and beat him up and, you know, tie him up and punch him when you're in the clinch. He wants you to come at him. You it's not just pressure you got to give him. You got to give him super pressure. You got to be all over him. So
you know what else, too, I think with Mayweather, I think one of the keys to Mayweather, too, is you have to have a good jab. And not only just a good jab, but good timing on your jab. And I think Cotto disrupted his timing with the jab. And one thing Cotto did that I thought was very smart is Mayweather's quick. And so what he does, he throws a straight right, and Mayweather's always under that counter left hook, always out the way, slides out to the side, right or left. What Cotto would do is Mayweather would throw a right, Cotto would counter with a jab because the jab is going to get there.
And just that simple jab with this rocked Mayweather's timing, and it made Mayweather start to miss those rights a little bit. And I think what people don't give Cotto enough credit for is his boxing acumen. And I think not only did he pressure Mayweather well, but he also backed up and made use of lateral movement, made use of angles and smart counterpunching at the right time as well.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're joined by a guy who's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap all women with a single bound. The inevitable, the lovely and vivacious Dr. Chris.
Oh, boy.
How
here
you
go.
How you doing, guys?
How's it going,
Dr. Chris?
Talking
about Cotto. I don't
think
Mayweather would have to. I don't think Cotto can beat Mayweather. I don't. He's had it. He's had too many tough fights in his life.
Who's that? Pacquiao?
No, Cotto.
Cotto. Yeah, no. Hey, listen. I still want to see Martinez and Mayweather. Martinez is kind of cocky and flashy. Wants to put his hands on, and he's still got some speed. So if he beats Cotto, I would love to see that fight. I think Mayweather would have to go up to 160, but you know maybe it could do a catch weight of something a little bit lower. But I still think that'd be an intriguing fight.
Oh, it'd be a hell of a fight, but I don't think he wants to fight middleweights.
No, the only way he would fight middleweight, I think, is if possibly Cotto were to upset Martinez. Then I think he would consider it. But there's no way he's going to fight Martinez. I think even at a catchweight, he looks at Martinez as being a bona fide middleweight. Even though we look at him as a small middleweight, I think LRB and Roger Floyd Mayweather Sr. look at Martinez as being a full-fledged middleweight.
I don't think it's a lucrative fight for Floyd either. That's the thing, too.
You say that, but listen, Roy Jones should have not gone up the heavyweight, and he still went up and did it successfully, you know? It's just that he fought Ruiz. But
yeah, exactly.
If Mayweather did something like that, I would take back all that stuff of him never fighting Pacquiao when Pacquiao in his crime, I mean, in his time. I think people would go, wow, okay. I mean, he beat a middleweight champion, you know, who handed it to a lot of people. I think people would be like, okay, this guy is, you know, he dug nobody for sure. I think they'd forget about the Pacquiao stuff, because being a champion like Martinez at middleweight to me would just be, you know, that'd be super. So to me, that's a fight I would love to see.
I think even if he went up to, you know, especially a few years ago, had he gone up and fought Martinez, even if he lost, I think it would have enhanced his legacy because he took the chance.
Right.
With that being said, He didn't take the fight then because it was just, you know what, there's not enough money in that fight for him, point blank. That's a fight I don't think he would, because Sergio's not a huge draw, and we know Floyd's about the money. He'll always make more money fighting Cotto.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what, if Cotto wins the title, that's not going to be good, because then he's going to have to fight Golovkin, and that's a disaster.
The only way Cotto wins that title is if Sergio, his injuries caught up to him, and he just got old all of a sudden. If Sergio is 80% of what he can be, Cotto doesn't stand a chance.
That's how I feel about it.
Hey, guys,
we're
joined by Russell Peltz, and Russell's on a very short time, so we want to introduce him. And, Russell, we have Dr. Chris Panarella, Aaron Jaco, Ty and Zita that you met from our staff, and we want to welcome you tonight. How's things going for you?
Good. Very good.
Good. I see you had a big signing on your contract there, huh? With Thomas?
Yeah, we signed Thomas Lamana, who's better than people give him credit for.
Great.
Undefeated middleweight from Millville, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was won all 14 of his fights. He's a big drawing card in Atlantic City. He's only 22 years old, and he's coming off the biggest win of his career over Ashanti Gibbs of Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, that was down in Atlantic City last week, was it?
Right, April 12th at Bally's, Atlantic City.
Great. And you have another show coming up in Philadelphia very, very shortly, don't you?
Yeah, at the 2300 Arena, which was formerly the New Alhambra, where we ran shows from 2004 to 2011. No, we had one there in 2012 when Brian Jennings beat Maurice Byarm.
Where is that physically in Philadelphia?
It's at Swanson and Rittner Streets, about a block or two off Delaware Avenue.
Okay.
It's a new hot area of Philadelphia.
Is that down by the Sugar House?
The Sugar House, well, it's the Sugar House is on Delaware Avenue, maybe about a mile and a half up the road. So they're our main sponsor for that card.
Excellent, excellent. And who's on the card?
A couple of local matches, Naeem Nelson, an undefeated junior welterweight from Philly, who's 11-0, against Jerome Rodriguez from Bethlehem, who's 6 wins, no losses, and 3 draws. And then there's a heavyweight fight between Mark Rideout from Philly, who's undefeated in 6 fights, against Joey DeWaco, who's 9-3 and just came back from training camp in Austria with Vladimir Klitschko. So there's a couple of interesting local 8-round fights.
Excellent, excellent.
Hey, Russell,
questions?
How you doing? This is Ty. It's nice to talk to you.
How are you?
Sitting near you at the fights. Wanted to ask you, to me, are basically the pulse at this, you know, at this day and the juncture, I should say, of Philadelphia boxing. Having been a part of Philadelphia City boxing for so many years, could you talk a little bit about what's changed from the past to now, what you see coming up in the future as far as talent, as far as training, as far as the growth or the demise of it in the city?
There's a lot of good young fighters in Philly. I guess there's close to a dozen good prospects. The problem is getting them to fight in competitive matches at this stage instead of opting out for records of 25-0 against garbage, which seems to be the mode in boxing today in this century. Everybody wants to be 25-0. And get on HBO and Showtime. And as I've said in the past, sometimes they're successful because the guy in the other corner came up the same way. The problem is that the people who buy fights for the networks, all they can see is a record, 25-0. They can't understand how fighters can be talented and lose fights. I joke that Archie Moore and George Benton and Joey Girardello could never get on television today because they had too many losses. And I think that's the biggest problem with boxing today, is that the people who buy fights for the networks have no clue as to what they're doing. They're just looking at one-loss records. They're not looking at quality of opposition, and they're not actually looking at tapes of fights. They're just going by statistics.
Great. Chris, you got anything?
Russell, you're right, Russell. I got to tell you, I'm a very good friend of Marty Feldman's. Have you talked to him lately?
I've seen Marty a few times in the last couple of months. He's basically retired from the business, but in his day, he was as good a trainer as ever came out of Philadelphia.
Right. Yes, he was. I went with him to all Charlie Washington's fights, and was
Charlie
in the gym at Upper Darby.
Charlie Williams. Prince Charles Williams.
Yeah, and we went down to when he fought Chiz down at at the Atlantic City. We were there for that. He looked great, that kid. Yeah. Marty's starting to have some hard times, and I felt bad about it. I talked to him on the phone. I want to go up and take him out to lunch sometime. He doesn't drive anymore, I don't think. I think his kids took
him. I don't know.
Nah, he doesn't drive. He's not doing too well. His eyes are bad, too. Damn shame, because I've known, well, you know how Maury was, holy Christ. He's always in tip-top condition, you know.
Yeah.
So, I was in a gym at Upper Darby with a couple amateur fighters when Frank the Animal was there and Anthony Fletcher was there. It was a colorful time at Upper Darby, and you were just starting out in the business, really.
No, actually, I'd been in the business a long time by that time.
Yeah,
I started in 69. Frank the Animal Fletcher was a big hit in the early 80s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been around. Yeah, I remember, but I remember you were promoting fights down Atlantic City.
Right.
I think
all
you,
through the 80s.
Yeah, because I went down to several of them. I went down to several of them. Yeah, you've had a... And I've been to I've been to the Alhambra. I've seen fights there. It's a nice arena. Nice arena. You know?
Well, it's been expanded because they bought out Foreman Mills next door. So by September, October, when the risers get in, we'll see it about 1,700. They're going to have a sports bar. It's going to be completely different from what it was.
That'd be great. It'd be great. I like to see it come back. I like to see the city come back. Or there was dead in the city for a long while. Everything was down Atlantic City, and then things dried up there too. So, yeah. Well, the gym's filled with the amateur fighters now, like there used to be. There used to be one on every corner. You know, now there's not that much. You know, you used to go to an amateur tournament, and 35 middleweights would sign up for the Golden Gloves. For one division in the 50s and 60s. Now it's fallen off quite a bit, but still a lot of tough kids in Philly.
Well, it used to be like that in every city, not just Philadelphia. But like I say, there's a lot of good prospects in Philadelphia. I'd say close to a dozen. And it's a question of making the right matches.
Also, you got on the 16th, don't you have a pretty big match with two heavyweights?
Yeah, Joey DeWaco and Mark Rideout.
Right.
DeWaco's 9-3, but he's fought all tough guys. Rideout's undefeated, but he hasn't fought all tough guys. So we'll see what's the better way.
Right. Is that your fighter or either one of these guys your fighters?
No.
Who's that?
Oh, okay.
No, DeWaco, no. He's the one who just came back from Austria where he was sparring with Klitschko.
Okay.
For Klitschko's
great
upcoming fight.
Uh-huh. And the card, again, is going to be the 2300 Arena, and that's down off, I guess it's off Delaware Avenue, and did you say Shunk?
In South Philly.
Right.
Right off Columbus Boulevard.
Columbus Boulevard. That's great. And how can people get the...
They can call our office, or they can go to the peltsboxing.com, our website.
Great. Is there any place else they can get them, if they can't get them there?
No. That's how we do business. That's through our office, through our website, or from the fighters. Eventually, they'll have a ticket system that will be up on the internet, but right now we do most of the business right through our office.
excuse me. Then you have some on the undercard. You have Brian Jennings and Maurice Bryan?
No. Brian Jennings is fighting on HBO. He fought on the last show in the building in January of 2012.
Great. Is there any other shows that you have coming up?
Well, I'm involved in the NBC Sports Network Fight Night series. Our next show is June 21st at Pocono Downs in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Excellent.
Guys, I got to run.
I know Russell's on a very short time. Does anybody have any more questions for him?
No, I just want to say thank you very much and commend you on your matchmaking. It's about time somebody starts matching people up with, you know, that can afford a loss and keep it moving. I like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, Russell. Okay,
well,
take care. Thanks for having me.
Have anything coming on that you can we can at least get a crowd for you, please let us know. And we always appreciate talking to you and having you come on and talk to us about the Philadelphia Fighters.
Okay, thanks for having me. Take care.
Right, take care. Thank you. That's Russell Peltz, Peltz Fight. Russell's got a big program going on May 16th at the 2300 Arena in South Philly. It's located at Swanson and Rittner Streets, which would be just about off Oregon Avenue, coming up off of Delaware Avenue in in Philadelphia. So any of the Philadelphia crowd out there, you want to see a good fight, head on down to the 2300 Arena. We're joined again by Frankie. Frankie, how you doing?
Good, good.
Man of many words.
Sorry, I got a call earlier. Tried to jump off.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't want to interrupt your love life.
Yeah.
Do we still have Aaron on?
Huh?
Sir?
Do we have Aaron on?
Yeah, he's still here.
Yeah, okay, I just want to, before you get off the air, I just want to give you accommodations for what you're doing for autism and ADD. One of my sons has autism, and, you know, that's it takes a lot of patience.
It does. Listen, I mean, I train some of them kids, and there's obviously different levels, but you definitely have to have patience for it. But, you know, I was blessed to have a healthy child. Everybody's blessed to have a child, but to give back in community is just it's something that I feel like everybody should do. I wish people would give back a little more community and let the community know that if it wasn't for, you know, the kindness of others and the clientele that we all have, we wouldn't be successful or have the nice things we have. So you got to give back, and it's going to be a great event. I know Butch is going to stop in with his grandkids and his daughter, so it'll be good to see them, and we look forward to it.
Well, we're also going to make a donation on behalf of the son. We'll be down there bright and early.
To tell you guys, though, you are right about Golovkin. That guy's a holy cow. You know what I like about Golovkin, Butch?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the fact that he's from the same place that Borat was, right? Kazakhstan or however you say it. And he was in that movie.
He was in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. And he looks like he'd just be like a little nerd on Wall Street, but, man, he'll punch the crap out of you.
Oh, he's brutal, isn't he?
Damn.
He is brutal.
He's got to the body.
Yeah,
was that a crazy movie or not? I didn't even know there was a place called that. But it's on the map.
Yeah, I know. I don't think anybody thought it existed, but it does.
There were scenes in there I got sick laughing. You know? what a movie.
Hey, listen.
You know, you guys brought up autism. I got to tell you something about autism. Autism is a man-made disease. It's not a germ. It's not a virus. And we cannot find out what the hell causes it. Now it's to the point where 1 in 100 boys are coming down with it.
Yeah.
Getting widespread. It's brutal, and you know, I don't feel as though there's not enough research on it. It's not a germ. It's not a virus. What the hell is it? It amazes me. I mean, I play in a lot of golf tournaments for the boosted around here. There's always a couple of tournaments, and the more I study it and read about it, no one knows anything about it. They don't know really. It's man-made, not bacterial or viral, and they don't know. You know, did this exist 200 years ago, 100 years ago? They don't know.
Right.
No one knows how long it's been around. You know, but it's awful. I have several good friends raising autistic children. It's a back-breaking ordeal.
Yeah.
Talk about having patience. You better have patience.
Hey, Aaron, did you talk to Gary Kithropoulos? Yeah, 1-800 Mr. Gary.
Yeah, 1-800-Gary. Yeah, he's part of the event as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he's got three kids that have autism or autistic.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that you should be able to tap him for some funds.
We are. He's one of the huge sponsors. He'll be there. So, like I said, it's going to be an extraordinary event. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be a great time. Butch, make sure you get there. You know,
be there
Saturday at 5 for the party. I'm saving you a bunch of cake and cookies. Okay?
Okay.
So, hey, don't worry. You'll be taken care of, big guy.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Hey, you guys, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to go back and get my swirl on before I go out tonight, and I will talk to you all soon. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I look forward to talking to you all again very soon.
Thanks a lot for coming on, and thank you for doing what you're doing for the kids in Sarasota and around.
All right, thanks a lot, Butch. See you guys.
Take care.
See you. Take care, man.
All right, you too.
But what do you guys think about Peter Quillin fighting tonight?
Well, the guy is fighting, is it Colchin? I'm not sure his name. But he's an experienced Olympic guy. He's never been stopped. He has a few losses, but he has a lot of fights. He has 50-something fights.
Yeah, 54 with 23 knockouts.
Yeah. So, I mean, his power is okay, but his experience is much, much more.
Right.
Now, if Peter Quillin can't get this guy out of here, you know, one punch soon, I anticipate a long night for Peter, a very long night.
Yeah. Yeah. Ty?
Well, yeah, guys, last week, what did you think of Pacquiao? I think he's lost a step. I think he's on his way out. What do you think?
I don't know if he's on his way out, but he's lost some of his quickness. His power is there, and he seems to set a little more to try to get it there. But
he's off balance all the time now, jumping in off his feet, leaping in with one punch. He can't throw a right hook behind it because he's off balance. I mean, I think it's his worst style. I didn't like the fight last week, even though he won. I didn't like the fight. I didn't like Pacquiao the way he performed.
And I think he slowed down, but I think that's just Pacquiao's style. He at times he has a sloppy style, and I think he went a little more because he figured Timothy Bradley couldn't punch, so he could figure he could be a little more open so that he could get his power shots in. One thing I'll say is Pacquiao went to the body more than I saw him a lot previously. And I think that had an effect on Timothy a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the fight. Don't get me wrong. I just think Pacquiao's lost a step. You know, I just can't help but think that, you know, I think his days of fighting Mayweather are over. I think Mayweather would take the fight now. No problem. I don't see him beating Mayweather. You know?
I don't think he ever could beat Mayweather.
I agree.
Yeah, he's right. Mayweather's set all the time, and Pacquiao leaves his feet, jumps in with left hand leads. Yeah, that's not going to work against Mayweather. Never would have worked against him. You know,
counter uppercut. That's all I see that a whole lot. A simple shoulder roll into a counter right uppercut. He's leaping in with that left, and he's not bringing his – Pacquiao doesn't bring his right with him over his face or near his face. He leaves that right low when he leaps in with his left. And Floyd's just going to bump that out the way and come right back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right on that. Mm-hmm. When he leaped at Marquez threw that right hand right over top. He didn't bring his right hand in after he threw that left. And it was wide open to be countered by with a right hand right on his jaw. Man, that punch hit him too, boy.
Pacquiao has a tendency to pump the jab and then shoot the jab, and it's just a move he's always done. He'll pump the jab and shoot it, pump and shoot it. And what he did is Marquez was backing up. Pacquiao pumped when he halfway extended the jab, that pump jab and step. Marquez stepped into the jab and shot the right at him. And Pacquiao does that. He does that with his left hand down and his right hand at his hip. So he was wide open.
Looking at that fight again, one thing that I think would have saved Pacquiao, he still would have got hit with the shot, but Pacquiao doesn't tuck his chin. When he lifts his head up to almost like he has to see exactly what he's doing. And if he would have tucked his chin, it would have been braced a little more on his chest.
You know, Pacquiao's one of those kind of fighters who – he tucks his chin when he's thinking defense, but offensively he has his chin in the air. You're absolutely right. He does have his chin in the air on offense.
Exactly. And with that,
Bernard Hopkins, you could tell he trained with a tennis ball under his chin because his chin is always in his shoulder, always.
Always in the shoulder and his chest.
Yeah, he's got to play tonight too.
Squares up face to face. He squares up. And, that you cannot tuck your chin when you jump in like that. Your both shoulders are parallel. I mean, your shoulders are parallel to your opponent, and you can get hit on either side of your face that way. I don't like that. Never did like it.
And that's
you
why he should twist his he should twist that body, keep the shoulders narrow.
When yeah,
he throws
exactly. What time does Klitschko come on tonight, you guys? It comes on at 9 o'clock, doesn't it?
Now, the Bernard Hopkins, Peter Quill, and Paulie Malignaggi, Sean Porter card is tonight at 9 o'clock. The Klitschko fight is next week, and I think ESPN is putting that on. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's next week.
No, ESPN is carrying it.
Yeah, so I'll be over your house to beat up.
Well, next week's also the Madonna and Mayweather fight.
Yeah, that's the week after. That's the third.
The third, actually. I'm a week ahead, right.
I get the dates all messed up because I'm not paying attention when they tell me when they're fighting, and I always get them mixed up. So, Hopkins will be the last fight tonight. By the way, I like this Quillen kid. I think he's a pretty good fighter.
Yeah.
Here's
Chris, I wanted to tell you something. Arislande Lora and Canelo Alvarez are signed to fight each other.
Really?
Lora can fight.
Yes.
Lara can fight. I saw that last night. That's coming up. Lara, he can fight. I mean, that's going to be a hell of a fight. I don't know who I'd pick in that one. What do you think?
That's a little hard to pick right now. I have to go look at some of the previous fights a little more. I'm going to tell you what, though. Canelo, you see, that style gives Canelo trouble, you know, because you can see that with Floyd. And Lara uses his feet a little more, but he still kind of shoots from those same angles. And that gave Canelo trouble with Floyd. But
he gave Canelo trouble with Austin Charles, too.
at times. Austin Charles is not seasoned enough. But Angulo was able to touch on Lara. And that scares me. Because if Angulo can do it.
Isn't Lara left-handed?
He might
be a problem for Canelo, that left hand. Sometimes that can drive me crazy fighting left handers.
I think it's going to be an interesting fight.
You know, I'm kind of with you guys. I mean, obviously, to me, it's a little early for me to decide. Right now, my gut says it's a toss-up fight. It really is. A couple fights ago, I would have predicted Laura, but honestly, Canelo's last three fights have been against Austin Trout, Floyd Mayweather, Angulo, Alfredo Angulo. Austin Trout and Floyd Mayweather have kind of helped prepare him somewhat for an Arislande Lara. With that said, I always thought Arislande Lara had the style and the boxing acumen to beat Canelo Alvarez. I think pressure, it gives a guy like Lara trouble, pressure. Believe it or not, Canelo's not a pressure fighter. That's why everyone was picking him against Floyd, but, you know, the smarts knew that he was really just going to get outboxed because he's more of a patient boxer puncher. He really is. And so that style can be negated by a slick boxer like Arislande Lara. However, kind of like Zito said, Alfredo Angulo really got to Arislande Lara. That doesn't necessarily scare me if that was an anomaly, a one-time thing, because Laura has a tendency to back up and give ground, and precisely what you don't want to do with guys like Alfredo Angulo or Antonio Margarito. You don't want to give these guys ground and give them momentum. So, you know, that style kind of plays into Angulo. But the thing that scares me about Arislande Lara is, as good as he is, he's a guy who tends to fight inconsistent at times or fight down to the level of his competition. There are times where you see this guy, you think he's clearly the best junior middleweight in the division. But at the same time, I've seen him struggle against Angulo. I've seen him struggle mightily against Carlos Molina in a fight a lot of people thought he lost. And I've seen some performances where he's been a little uneven. So Canelo seems to be the more consistent fighter, the more consistent. You know what you're going to get every time he steps into the ring. Don't always know what I'm going to get with Arislande Lara, and that's what scares me about picking him at this particular juncture.
When Canelo fought Angulo, Angulo's hairstyle wasn't good enough. That's what Gordon lose that fight. That is the worst hairstyle in the ring. He got to get a new hairdresser. I hope he's listening to the show. Because I don't know what the hell he does with that hair. But he doesn't fight a good defensive battle either. I'm not impressed. I mean, he's a rugged guy, but I'm not impressed with him. I mean, he was a punching bag for Canelo. You know?
With the Lara Alvarez fight, I think it comes down Tolora's feet against Alvarez's hands. Because Alvarez's hands are quicker. To me, they're quicker. Tolora has quick hands, but I think Alvarez is a little bit quicker. To where Tolora
isn't Alvarez a little taller, too? Isn't he taller?
I don't know if he's taller than Tolora. I don't think so.
No, yeah, I think they're both about 5'9". I know Tolora is like 5'9". I think they're both about 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah.
I think
Tolora might have
the
reach. I think Tolora might have the reach.
Yeah, I think so. I like him, though, as a fighter. I like him. I think he's got a lot of talent.
He has all the skills in the world. I think he's a little chinny, though. I think he's a little chinny.
Yeah. You know what? He's not an inside fighter. He can't fight inside either, so. You know what?
What it is,
I mean, he's a great outside technician. He's slick. But he's not the slickest. And to me, again, he's not always consistent or even in his performances. And that's what scares me about him. That's why, as good as he is, I don't quite yet see, like, a greatness in him, because I just see an uneven, inconsistent type of guy out there.
Yeah, the guy like Molina, he gives everybody trouble. He gives everybody trouble.
Thank you so much. He's unorthodox.
Yeah.
You don't know what the hell he's going to do next.
Great.
You know? Well, we'll see. They fight tonight, right?
Yep.
All right, we'll see. We'll know next week.
Tonight is Bernard Hopkins against Velvet Shumanev.
Well, isn't there two fights along on the same card?
Paulie Malignaggi against Sean Porter is also on that card.
Porter's going to win that fight.
That's a toss-up fight. Just because I could see Porter just mauling Malignaggi around all fight long, or I could see Porter attempting to and Malignaggi sidestepping, stinging them all fight long. As a
toss-up. Yeah, he's got to fight his best fight. The Malignaggi got to fight his best fight to beat Porter, I think. Porter's
also
strong.
The one thing I will say is I do think that particular style, that Porter brings, and Tim Bradley, tends to bring that style too at times.
Mm-hmm.
That style's tough for a boxer, for just a slick boxer, because this is a guy who mauls, kind of comes in with his head a lot of times, and who will basically hold you and hit you and just smother you. And if you don't have anything significant to keep that guy back, then that fight becomes really grueling. You have to have physical strength, which I don't think Paulie's anywhere near as strong as Sean Porter. So
not anywhere near. No way.
It comes down to Sean Porter's footwork to me. If Sean Porter's footwork is good enough to keep him inside, he wins the fight. Because Paulie can't hurt him, so it really comes down to him having good enough feet to cut Paulie off and slow him down.
And I think that's the problem. Paulie's footwork is significantly better than Sean's.
Yeah. But Sean just has to be good enough. It doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good enough and smart enough. He doesn't have to have great footwork, but if he's smart enough to take his little half steps to the side, cut the ring off, and, because he can essentially walk through. I mean, Sean Porter is tough. That's one thing. The guy can take a shot. So he could take a shot, and Paulie can't throw a shot. So he can walk through whatever Paulie throws. All he has to do is maintain the footwork, the proper positioning to cut Paulie off at angles, so he can go ahead and close the gap and smother Paulie. Because once he gets inside, unless he has Joe Cortez in there breaking it quick, but if he has some other ref, once he gets inside, Paulie doesn't have the physical strength to stop him, and he doesn't have the punch to deter him. So it really, to me, it really comes down to Sean Porter's footwork. Is it good enough? We'll see.
I agree.
Devin Alexander is much more planted target than Paulie. Paulie's not a planted target. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
And I just think that Paulie's a little more consistent at doing what he does. Not saying he's going to win, because Porter's he's big and strong for that weight, but I think Paulie, as far as his feet is concerned, he's more consistent at what he does with them. I think Sean Porter, he's more of a back-and-forth kind of guy. So, and those kind of guys, Paulie, he can stare like a bull. Paulie's tough, so Porter's not going to take him out definitely with one punch. So, that's going to be interesting.
The guys.
I agree. It'd be a good fight.
We're out of time here.
You know. Okay. All right. Good talking to you guys. See you next week.
Okay, Chris.
Right,
thanks
now.
A lot.
Take
coming
it
on.
Easy, Frank. Bye. Bye.
All right, Dr. Chris.
Thanks, Dr. Chris.
Okay, Z, you want to lead us out?
Oh, yeah. I want to thank Aaron Jaco, and I want to thank Mr. Russell Peltz. I definitely want to thank Dr. Chris. I want to thank you guys. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Ta.
Man, today we got to hear the wisdom of Frankie and Dr. Chris all in one conversation. How about that? I want to thank Aaron Jaco, Russell Peltz for joining us. Bob Zerkopalat, everyone have a good week. Enjoy the fights tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs, I want to thank everybody for coming on. Russell Peltz, of course, giving us a time out of his, I know he had a big rush today, and he gave us 10 minutes. Dr. Chris, always a pleasure to have on. Frankie, it's always good to hear his voice. Aaron is just doing a tremendous job here with his gym. Anybody in the Sarasota area that can go over to Uppercut Boxing on McIntosh or to his brother's gym, Jaco Boxing, for next Saturday, Friday night and Saturday for the program for autism. Russell, again, has a program on May 12th in Philadelphia. And our good friend Dave Tabiri has a program going on the next Saturday, I believe it is, at the Dover Downs racetrack. Anybody in the Delaware area, you want to see a great fight, go on down there, and they'll take care of you. It's always a good place down there. Guys, I always appreciate everything you do for us and for the show. It's always a pleasure every week to be on with you. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every week. Grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just say thank you. It means the world good to everybody. You'll see a smile on everybody's face when you say that. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bates, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, New Castle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Christman, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Payne, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your face and on your fields, and the sun shine softly on your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma Ezahir Ma
Yeah.
fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field.
Show. Thanks. We love you.